everyone. Welcome back. We are the Video Store Junkies, and today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're just going to kind of talk about what we did over the weekend and what we watched. I say what we did because some of us didn't have time to watch anything because they were a very, very busy person. So on that note, hey, Bill, what did you do this weekend?
Well, I went to a convention in Winston-Salem, Congregate, which is run by a husband and wife team, the Fulbrights. Aaron and James, who are excellent, excellent people, and their lovely daughter Hannah. They it is the most thankless task in the world, putting on a convention. Anything that goes wrong, you get blamed for. Anything that goes right, people just think, oh, the convention gods smiled on us. So I don't know why anybody does it, but thankfully there are people who do. And it's a good convention. I would put it. You know, some conventions are kind of what we call cozy cons. It's really just an excuse for a bunch of people who know each other to get together and talk about it. Yeah, just to get away for the weekend. Those have taken a real hit after COVID because cons like that are never operating on a very big margin of profit. There is no profit. Everything that happens, everything you get gets plowed into the next one, and you're one bad year away from disappearing. We had an excellent convention. Paul can attest to this. Mysticon was a wonderful, wonderful convention in Roanoke, Virginia, and COVID killed them. COVID just knocked them dead, and it's a shame. I don't think it's ever coming back, which is too bad because the people running it were absolutely fantastic. Carla Brindle, just a whole bunch of just the best people. And you really miss those things. And then there's Con Carolinas, which is a little on the larger side. Then, of course, there's Dragon Con, which is insano. And I'd say Congregate's a little smaller than Con Carolinas, but bigger than others. And it's a really good time. Now, this year, they also teamed up with John Hartness, the publisher of Falstaff Books, which is where my book, Raum, R-A-U-M, was published. And he runs a thing called Sago, which is a series of workshops on the different aspects of writing, both the creative aspect and the professional aspect. And that worked out really well. So this hotel down in Winston-Salem, it's a Marriott and a Embassy Suites that are joined by a bridge. And the two conventions were pretty much, if you bought a ticket for Sago, you instantly got into Congregate. So they worked well. I think they worked really well together. It was a good turnout. Christine Parker was there. Jason Buterin. Mark Lucas. Oh, hi, Mark, who does some great stuff on Steam. You know, if I start listing all the people, then I'm going to leave people out. I'm going to feel like a schmuck.
Right.
But it was a really good turnout. We had a great time. And our Video Store Junkies. Our film, Top 10 Mysterious Mysteries, somehow won Best Science Fiction.
No!
Ooh.
Yeah. And more importantly to me, it killed in the room. People got the jokes and were laughing.
Ah,
it's the most,
I love
cool.
it.
The most baffling project I've ever worked on. It either gets totally rejected, like we don't even want to look at you again, or it gets awards. Very little in between.
That's great. They get us.
Yeah, they get us. Yeah.
And we get them.
I did a reading where I actually, instead of reading from Raum, I've done to the point where I'm sick of it. You can't stop doing that. I read the first chapter of what I hope to be my second book, and it got a really good response. I was very, very happy.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
That was gratifying.
Yeah.
So it was just Yeah, it was just a really nice thing. Mark's a great guy, good roommate. He throws parties every night. So if you're rooming with him, you got to accept the fact you're not going to get to sleep until 2. But that's okay, because he provides ridiculous amounts of booze and mixes them up, and people just come and go. It was just a really nice conversation. I like being on the panels. I was on 4 or 5 panels, and that's always fun. I love doing that. But it's really the people, just getting to see folks. And there's folks I don't see outside of these conventions.
Yeah.
So COVID was brutal. And a lot of them never came back. A lot of people who, you know, were regulars at the conventions just never came back.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it is. And I understand why, because conventions are notorious for spreading disease.
Oh, con crud. Mm. It was always the con crud you'd talk about.
Right, con crud was the thing. And you know, it's I'm waiting to see who's going to be the first one to post, hey, just to let you know, I tested positive. And it's like,
oh, God.
Huggy McHuggerson, you know, the person who gives a big wet kiss to everyone they see. But I haven't seen that yet. So there are a couple of folks who canceled before the convention because they came down with COVID. So it's still out there, folks, you know.
Gotta... Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. It's when we did Cosplay America, Shelly came home that night and tested positive for COVID. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oy. Still there.
But it was a good time. It was a good time. Yeah. So that's what I did. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I like it. So, Paul, what did you do?
Well, movie-wise, Thursday night, Shelly and I went and caught Long Legs, which is... So, for those who are not familiar, it is a new horror thriller by writer-director Osgood Perkins, who is, yes, he's the son of Anthony Perkins and the grandson of Osgood Perkins, who was an actor in the 20s and 30s. He was an actor himself, but he's recently been doing a lot of very kind of the elevated horror, A24 style horror films. And this one he did for Neon, which if you're not familiar with Neon, it's sort of like the lesser known cousin of A24. What's funny is I had only seen like two trailers. Apparently this thing has had some crazy viral marketing that I hadn't even noticed. But it's really good. It's excellent.
Really?
It definitely has that kind of A24-esque, you know, elevated horror feel to it, but it's more accessible. Like the previous films that Osgood Perkins has done were, let's see, I can pull them up. They were a little too much. There was a Black Coat's Daughter. I don't think I actually saw that one. There's I Am the Pretty Little Thing That Lives in the House.
Oh.
And what was the other one that he did? Gretel and Hansel, which had promise but didn't quite work for me. Long Legs, though, creepy as hell. Really? One of the neat things is the main bad guy is played by Nicolas Cage, but you don't really see him for a while, and he's very Nicolas Cagey, but in a very very it's like strongly creepy Nicolas Cage. Blair Underwood is in it, and he's great. The main character is played by Micah Monroe, and she does a really good job too. She's excellent. It's really good. It's one of those ones that's just unsettling, I think, is the best word for it. It's not really gory. It's not really, you know, it's just unsettling the way it's shot, how it kind of plays out. Shelly didn't like it quite as much. She thought sort of, you know, there's always sort of a twist reveal kind of thing. She thought that it wasn't laid out as much as she felt it should have been. But I thought it worked just perfectly. I kind of like it when a film, you'll forget, they tell you something and you forget it. And then later when you find out about it, you're like, oh, crap, I completely forgot about that. That's great, you know. So it's not a twist because you knew this other thing, but you knew it later. So it's excellent. Longly and as they say in the business, it actually has legs. It did excellent this weekend. Like, I think originally it was supposed to do less than 10 million. You know, it's a small film, but I think it did something like 20 million. I highly recommend it. Very creepy. Don't look anything else up about it. I really It's definitely unsettling. Of course, now it's getting really overhyped. So,
right.
Scariest thing in the world. It's the best movie ever seen. It's like,
oh no.
You know, so unfortunately, some people are going to go and go, oh, this was that, was it? You know, so your mileage may vary, but I thought it was excellent. My mom went and saw it, and she said she thought it was the best horror movie she'd seen.
So, wow, really?
Yeah. So that's from my mom. And it's interesting because it goes some places that she normally doesn't like the kind of stuff it does. So, Long Legs, highly recommend it. And then Sunday, Shelley and I went and saw, so the Alamo, we live just right down the street from the Alamo Draft House, and we have their season pass.
Mm-hmm.
So for $20 a month a piece, we can go every single day if we want to a movie. And, what they do is they also have a special film series that, so this year they call it their time capsule. And so every 2 months, it's another year they're focusing on, and right now they're in the middle of 1984. And so we went and saw a film that neither of us had seen, and it was actually really charming. On Sunday we went and saw Cloak and Dagger from 1984. Oh, so wow. It had it was Henry Thomas and Dabney Coleman. And Henry Thomas is a kid who's Dabney Coleman is his dad, but he also is his imaginary friend who's like this spy, and Henry Thomas gets involved in spy stuff accidentally, and it's actually really charming. What's funny is, like, one of the people who's like the guy who plays sort of the nerdy hacker guy is William Forsythe, and he doesn't even look. I mean, and if you're familiar with William Forsythe, it doesn't even look like him. I mean, I think he's actually credited as Bill Forsythe. I mean, if you knew him, he played Flat Top in Dick Tracy. And he was John Goodman's cohort in Raising Arizona. He was the sheriff in The Devil's Rejects. But he's a goofy hacker with like thick glasses and shaggy beard and mustache. It's really kind of funny. I mean, he's pretty young at the time. So, but it's a cute little film. And apparently it's based on a story called The Boy Cried Murder, which was originally done as a film, I think, in like the 30s or 40s, I think, called The Window, and I think it was also redone as The Boy Cried Murder. But yeah, it's super fun, but very kind of 80s. It has like a little, you know, schmaltzy slow motion freeze frame ending, and it was really fun. But that's what we did. So how about you, Renee? What you got?
So so this weekend, actually on Saturday, I watched a movie with you and Shelley.
Yay!
Yeah, it was called Clickbait Unfollowed. It is a 2024 movie, so not to be confused with any other movie called Clickbait. It was available on Tubi. Is it a Tubi original?
It is a Tubi original, yeah.
I love Tubi. They're just so good. We love you, Tubi. So this movie is about a group of influencers who are invited to a house to compete for who can gain the most followers over these course of events. It's sort of what was the name of that Netflix show where all the people died?
A bunch of them, but
Game of Thrones?
No, the game show one.
Squid Games?
Squid Games, that's what it was. Yeah. What was the name of that movie where the people died? Isn't that a dumb? What a dumb sentence that was. God, I'm so sorry.
I was going to say Beneath the Planet of the Apes, which I think holds the record for the highest body count.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like it. Oh my gosh. So yeah, that movie was pretty good. You got to see all of these different like social media influencers. They really, I think, had a pretty good spread of the type of influencers that you see online. But yeah, it was really enjoyable. I would recommend it. And it is on Tubi. The other movie, I watched this one on my own. Now, I will tell you, typically when I watch a movie on my own, if it starts out to like be really good, I am so kind. I will stop the movie and then save it for the weekend. But this movie, so which actually probably gives you an indication of how many really good movies I watch, because it doesn't happen that often. But this movie, it was really good, and I just couldn't stop watching it. It's called The Golem.
Oh, yeah.
You're not talking about the old one, right? You're talking about a new one?
This is from 2019.
No, I don't think I've seen the new one, yeah.
Oh, okay. It was written and directed by the Paz brothers, Doran and Yov. I'm probably mispronouncing their names. The movie is set in 17th century Lithuania, and it centers on this woman. She's got a lot of issues going on. She lost a son, and things are a little bit tense, you know, with her husband and trying to have another child. And they're also dealing with those damn Gentiles. and causing them all sorts of trouble. So she creates a golem to protect the community from these people. You kind of follow what happens with the golem and the good and the bad and the ugly of what happens. So it was really, really good. I love folklore. So it had obviously a very healthy dose of that. It included obviously horror. And I think they depicted the historical, 17th century aspect really well. But it was really, really good. It is right now on Tubi, so I would recommend it. Most of the stuff that I do watch is on Tubi. So, I should probably just cancel all of my streaming services and just go all in on Tubi. But yeah, it was really, really good. I would recommend
it. Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I like golems are kind of golems are kind of fun since they, And one of the first horror films was The Golem.
See, I didn't know that. I've got to look that up.
Yeah.
There's another one, which actually I'm going to try to find it and see if we can watch it. So there's another movie that they've only done about like three movies together, but they did one together called Jerusalem with a Z. It was from 2015 and it was a found footage horror movie set in Jerusalem. Yes. Have you seen it?
I think I have seen that one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But it's so funny, the premise, because they're like, two American tourists find themselves in the midst of an apocalyptic event during Yom Kippur. Like, okay. But it combines horror and supernatural and religious themes. So I thought that would be an interesting watch. Yeah, I'll find the trailer and you can see if you've seen it before.
It's good. It does the found footage thing reasonably well.
Nice. You know. In my eternal search for cryptid movies, I found a movie called Moth. Moth from 2016. It was about a professor and her student. This guy volunteered to go to the European countryside with her to investigate the Mothman. Okay, so it's not bad. It's kind of odd. I would say I didn't really like it, but like the ending was quite interesting. But they really probably could have cut it down quite a bit. It was a slow burn. A lot of it, I just was like, can we fast forward through this? But I really liked the ending. So it kind of saved itself, but not really enough that I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. Okay. But, cryptid movie, had to give it a chance. Anyhow, okay. Anything else anybody wanted to touch on?
Yeah, I did want to mention another movie because Bill mentioned Beneath the Planet of the Apes, which was directed by Ted Post. Grandson recently wrote and directed, his grandson Josh Margolin wrote and directed Thelma, which is in the theaters and is absolutely wonderful. It is.
The one with the little old lady?
Yes, yeah, not the other Thelma. This is from 2024. This is this year, Thelma. And it stars June Squibb, she is 94 years old, and she plays 93-year-old Thelma Post, who is actually patterned after Ted Post's wife, who is named Thelma Post, who is 103 and still alive. And it is absolutely hilarious. June Squibb is wonderful in it. She plays this 93-year-old woman who gets scammed by some phone scammers, and she has the address. So she says, fuck it, I'm going to go get my money back. And she goes on this with her buddy, played by Richard Roundtree in his last role, because he just passed away this past fall. It is sweet. It is funny. It is respectful. It's not making fun of older people. I mean, there's, of course, some humor, but in terms of related to her age, but it's not mean-spirited. I mean, it really focuses on her and also on her grandson. And I think the butt of a lot of the jokes are her daughter, who's played by Parker Posey, and her son-in-law, played by Clark Gregg, because they're a little overprotective of both her and her grandson. It is adorable. It is hilarious. I highly recommend this one too. Thelma. Yeah. And like I said, it's kind of neat because it also has Malcolm McDowell. in it as well. In a small but pivotal role. So it is really fun. Again, it's a really sweet movie. And like I said, it kind of hits. It's been doing really well too. This is again one of those small indie films.
Well, it's got a great commercial, great trailer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, and it captures, I think, the feeling of it as well. And so, and it hits across age groups. So I think that's what's doing well with it. So there you go. That's my, and but it tied in because, you know, like I said, his actual grandfather, who there's photos of him are supposed to be her late husband, Ted Post, are in the film actually. So, but yeah, he directed Beneath the Planet of the Apes and Magnum Force. So there you go.
I like it.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear about
the cave?
Yes, yes. There's a cave, and they said they actually think there's like a whole underground cave system. You know what that means? You know what it means?
Oh, yes.
Selenites.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Selenites.
That's right.
I don't know if you ever read or watched The First Men in the Moon. Moon, but the giant ant like Ray Harryhausen, the giant ant like moon natives, the Selenites, they live in the caves. We're gonna finally
see the Selenites. Giant caterpillar space cows,
it's
gonna be awesome. It's not as typical, it's not a typical Harryhausen movie because it's got much more of a plot. It's not just moving from one monster to another. In fact, the stop motion to a certain degree almost feels forced in until we get to the actual Selenites, who are very cool monster, you know, very cool aliens. There's only one giant monster in it.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. They found a moon cave. Oh
yeah. And they're hoping that's where we can build a moon cave resort.
Well, thank you, everybody. I hope you enjoyed what we watched and what we did over the weekend. We are going to have hopefully some enjoyable things coming up. We have Frankenstein's Daughter. We talked a little bit about Abigail and Furiosa, and we have some other things in the hopper. So, yeah. All right. Say goodnight.
Night. Goodnight. Everyone.